it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
It's a game day inside KeyBank Center with Marty. I'm Brian, and Ottawa provides the opposition. So not unlike yesterday when Alex Lyon said he was sweating through his shirt thinking about new equipment, you probably do so thinking about the brawl and the history, but there were good moments, obviously, as well, including recent memory. Buffalo swept the Senators in the season series last year, all four games.
There was some really good moments, and I always loved, and I'm not saying that slightly, I loved playing the Ottawa Senators because I came in, you know, drafted in 95, you know, 97, 98 was my first year with the Rochester Americans. And in those first few years, there was the Derek Plant, there was the Pekka against Yashin, there was a lot of Buffalo Sabres, Ottawa Senators rivalry moments, right? So I always kind of had that with me every time we played Ottawa. I played junior hockey for half a year in Gatineau, right across the river. I had a lot of friends and family in that area. So it was always fun to play the Ottawa Senators. Always liked it. Now, we do have a poll on Sabres Live right now. That is, what's your favorite Ottawa Sabres, like Senators Sabres moments in the franchise history, whatever. So you got the Derek Plant Game 7 OT goal. You got the brawl. You got the Jason Pominville OT Game 5 in 06. And then you have others, and you can comment. I did not vote for the brawl because I got beat up in that brawl, so that's not a good memory that I want to be able to vote for. So I voted for Pominville, but I have to think the Derek Plant moment was also very significant. The only Game 7 win in Sabres history, so it's pretty significant.
As soon as you mentioned other, my brain just went like, let's think of the most random, ridiculous thing. Do you remember the night when we were out at the studio and Buffalo won on the road in Ottawa, but there was a skirmish at the bench and everybody moved up on the play and there was a Sabre at the other end that ended up with the breakaway and scored?
And scored.
And who was it?
I don't remember who that was.
It was the most ridiculous play.
It wasn't Nathan Beaulieu, right?
It was in that era, though.
It was
post-Beaulieu, but yeah.
You know, another Ottawa Senators moment that's really off the beaten path, and sorry to my son, who's going to get embarrassed again, is that when he had the ice cream Ottawa, and we showed him on the broadcast, and Rob Ray went to town about it. And I had actually send my kid. He's like, Dad, I'll be at the game today. Hey, tell me where you're going to be sitting. We're maybe showing you and your buddies at a game. They're wearing Sabres colors. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but don't do this. And I send him the George Costanza Seinfeld moment where he's at the U.S. Open eating the ice cream. And he goes, don't worry, I won't do it. Sure enough, he goes out there and he's digging into the ice cream and the whole thing, and he's on TV. So there you go.
Beck Malenstein joins us later in the show today. Zach Benson is in the lineup for the first time this season. His impact tonight will be what?
Energy. And I want to say some offense. Obviously, the Sabres are looking for some offense. You look at some of the data and the numbers so far in the season, scoring chances per game. Mm-hmm. They're last in the league. They're not creating enough offense. Lindy Ruff addressed that today. But he talks a lot about creating some scrums around the net, deflections, rebounds. That's all good. I want to see some clean offense. I want to see speed, transition, attack. And Benson brings that. I know everybody thinks Benson is this pit bull of a player, and he has that for him as his identity for sure. But I think he has some ability to create plays, clean plays, and transition plays. And I think that's going to help Thompson and Tuck having those opportunities.
I think it's obviously all situations where the coach, you know, wants to find a way to further the offense. But I think when he was speaking specifically about playing faster and getting inside and offensive tenacity, that's obviously not just at the goal crease. That is through the neutral zone, and especially once you get over the blue line, to get inside and make those plays. So, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. I mean, and it has to come because Lindy talked this morning about it from Ryan McLeod's standpoint, and we've heard it pertaining to other players already, and they know this, obviously, and it's just three games in, but it's where the game can change. And even, you know, Lindy volunteered today that Jiří Kulík will play after yesterday, suggesting that he may not, and that was very clear to the observers at practice because he was not practicing within the top four lines. Exactly. Yeah. So the fact that Jiří will have an opportunity tonight is also important. But let's just listen to Lindy on what he said about Kulík's game yesterday.
It hasn't been good enough, really. We need to be better. He needs to be a better player. He needs to make more plays. He needs to skate more. With his skating inside the game hasn't been where it was last year. He needs to be a better player for us.
And it really does. The lines are, dare I say, almost irrelevant to me at this. But this is something. Like this, I'm lines guy.
You're a lines guy.
I'm. But no matter where anybody finds themselves right now, this is my point. Because Benson, like, we spent all summer assuming that he could find his way onto the top line, and that's where we expect him to be. We'll find out officially when warm-up happens tonight.
But it was a top line that was supposed to be Benson, Norris, Thompson.
Right.
And that's now Benson, Thompson, Tuck.
Yes.
Because Norris is not there. So it's still a big change.
Exactly. So no matter where Jiří finds himself, he has to be taking this message. And whether it's directly from Lindy or ongoing conversations with Seth Appert, which Lindy alluded to this morning, you know, again, you don't want to overanalyze three games, but there was going to be a lot on Jiří's shoulders coming into this season.
Well, I think there's, and knowing Lindy Ruff, the way that he coaches, the way that he addresses the team in good times and bad, there's messages that are being sent to individuals, but also it's deflecting to onto others.
Mm-hmm.
99-2000 started the season. The Sabres went 0-4-2 after going to the finals. One of the first moves that they did was to call me up.
Mm-hmm.
And then morning skate here on a beautiful day like maybe today, like late October. And we're morning skating and he gets everybody at center ice and he goes, okay, well, just want to let you guys know that's not good enough. And nobody is safe, and tonight Marty is playing, and my all-star, you know, Olympic winner goaltender is not.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the message. Now, did I know Dom was going to regain the net at some point? 100%, right? But the message was towards Dom, onto everybody else. And I think that's the same thing. The message is towards Jiří Kulík right now, saying, you're a fifth-line guy yesterday. You're not on the line, but you're going to play tonight. But at any moment, I can pull that off, mm-hmm. right? And it's not just him. It could be, you know, Quinn. It could be McLeod. It could be anybody that if you're not getting to the middle and you're not producing and you're not winning one-on-one battles and you're not skating, then somebody else is going to want to do it.
And, obviously, from a Senators standpoint, they're without Brady Tkachuk. They are expecting to get Drake Batherson in for the first time this year. These are major, major players for this Ottawa team. And the Sabres continue with their, you know, cycle of in and out of the lineup with Benson coming in tonight. You have other guys getting close. Jordan Greenway, for instance, we could maybe see by the end of the week. And, I mean, yesterday, you know, Greenway just talking about how important it is to, like, when he's back with the group right now in practice, like, just how important it is for him to bring the energy.
You know, those rehab skates can, by yourself, can start getting pretty lonely. You know, but more than that, you know, where we are, it's easy to be down. It's easy to reflect on our last three games and go out there and, you know, be pissed off and sad and feel bad for ourselves. But, you know, call a spade a spade. We got a game tomorrow. We've got, my math is never great, but 79 more games. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Thank you. 79 more games. We got a long season, so I'm a big believer keeping the energy high and just looking to tomorrow.
Are you excited for his eventual return?
I am. And look, you know, Jordan Greenway has been this type of player. There's a polarizing effect to it is because, you know, he is a big body and he does get involved in a lot of aspects of the game. And then there's, you know, there's times where you get left wanting more because you know it's there, but there's been some injury issues, so there's been some limitation. But when healthy, Jordan Greenway is a big part of this team, and Lindy Ruff loves players like Jordan Greenway. So I think that helps maybe even just solidifying your top nine and maybe the rhythm. I mean, I'm looking at the Ottawa Senators' morning skate today. I'm on the side of the bench, and I'm looking around. I'm like, oh, that's a big guy. Oh, that's a big guy. That's a big guy. Wow, I like this player. I like this player. Looking at the roster, I'm like, there's a good roster there. And when Jordan Greenway is on the ice and when he's on the roster on the lineup card, teams circle him and say, that's a big guy, and that's an NHL player, and that's a good player. And then you add Zucker and McLeod and Thompson and Tuck and, you know, everybody else, and you're like, okay, that's a good lineup when you have everybody there. Mm-hmm. Benson, you know, and if Norris... We're hoping for, you know, Norris to be, like, not as long-term as, you know, originally maybe was expected, especially when Lindy Ruff said significant time. But who knows? Norris getting a second opinion. They have a plan in place. We'll see what happens. So, but when that lineup is there, it's a good lineup. But when you're missing pieces, it's obviously, you know, hard to put it all together.
Again, Benson coming in tonight. Jiří Kulík is expected to be in despite yesterday at practice where it looked like he might be out. So the coach is, you know, just trying to push the right buttons here. And this is what Jordan Greenway thinks he will be when he comes back in.
There's been a lot of ups and downs for sure. It's been mentally the most probably frustrating thing that I've been through in my career. But... you know, the only thing I can do is go out here, do the rehab, do what I need to do to get back on the ice. And, you know, that's where my head's at right now. And, I mean, at this point, I think I've gotten everything fixed. So I'm just going with I'm going to be Terminator when I get back. So I don't know what else can go down for me.
I'll be back.
There you go.
The Terminator. Which one? Terminator 1, Terminator 2, the Arnold Schwarzenegger one. Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, if that's the case, I love it. Like, he's not going to be, you know, he's going to be able to dish out shots.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And not getting banged up, so I like that mentality.
Ottawa, Buffalo for the first time this season. It happens tonight at KeyBank Center. Who are your who's your guy when it comes to anytime goal scorer tonight?
I'm gonna go with Zach Benson. Is he on our
plus 320?
Well, that you know what? I mean, the odds are thinking like I'm thinking. The energy that Benson's going to bring, the going to the front of the net. I think he takes one right off the visor and it goes in. Like, that is what I'm
You mean the bubble?
The bubble, yeah. He's got the bubble, the visor. Now, I'm not talking the half shields. I'm talking the big shield. He's going to take one right off the visor and it's going to go in. And then everybody's going to be laughing because, you know, he took a puck to the face, which had him spend, you know, a night in the hospital and has missed some time, and it wasn't supposed to be that way, but it does happen. But plus 320, when you're looking at the odds, I mean, Dahlin is still a plus 480. Mm-hmm. And I picked Dahlin in the last game to score. Didn't happen, but I still think there's great value in Dahlin. But I'm going with Zach Benson, plus 320, to be an anytime goal scorer tonight.
I would go with Ryan McLeod. He had a huge season series against Ottawa last year, and part of the reason why they were four. And they took advantage of both goalies of the Ottawa Senators last year, and both Ullmark and Forsberg had very, very, very similarly low save percentage numbers, and both went 0-2. We'll see just how it shakes down tonight.
We may get a Linus Ullmark appearance on the show. We have had Linus Ullmark appearance on the
show. Well, there's Travis Green. You could ask him who his starting goaltender
is. I know. We could ask Travis Green, but I don't know that he'll want to tell us. I'm going to go with – so Ottawa's going home and playing Seattle tomorrow night.
Yes.
So it's back-to-back. Ullmark has played two games already, and it's, three games, I should say. He's got a 4-point-something goals against average. It's not been great, but he's 1-2. I think we see Levi Mäkinen in net tonight, and they go back with Ullmark against Seattle at home tomorrow. That's what I think. A lot of time teams like to go with their starter the first night, and the backup gets the second night, but you're on the road first, at home the next. I think we're going to see Mäkinen tonight, but who knows? We'll see tonight, and we'll see then.
Well, last night, and by the way, Beck Malenstein joins us at the bottom of the hour, so we'll look forward to that catch-up with Beck, who's got a burgeoning family and obviously an awful lot of focus on tonight's game against the Ottawa Senators and just how collectively the entire group has to play. Last night, there were there were some pretty impressive individual performances. There is genuine concern, I think, for me with San Jose's goaltending.
Oh, boy.
Now, also, on the flip side of San Jose losing 5-1 to Carolina, and the Canes are the unbeaten team of the East at 3-0, it was more about how, at their best, Carolina is even better than they were before.
Yes.
Like, 43-17, as we know, they travel their own statisticians. I'm kidding.
At what point, their shots were like, in the second period, was 36-12 or whatever. It was crazy.
Nedeljkovic, I thought, was okay early, but then it seemed like it really, really got away from him.
Was that the William Carrier goal that was the, like, slide, one-hand slide 5-0?
Well, he didn't get any help from the two people that were trying to defend in the crease, and Carrier just bowled right through both of them and tapped it in.
Right, so it wasn't that goal. There was one goal that was – it was not a good goal. But at the end of the day, the shots were 3-1 for Carolina, and it's a 5-1 game. It just wasn't good enough. San Jose I watched, last night I tried to get some sense of enthusiasm for San Jose and the youth, and it fell flat last night.
Right, and the opposite is happening in Southern California with Anaheim.
Yes.
They are really, really, really pumping the tires and the expectations this season, and they persevered against Pittsburgh. So, all in all, I mean, here we are. Weaken a little bit in.
Kreider's got four already.
Yeah. Jack Eichel and Kirill Kaprizov are tied for the scoring lead. Jack missed out on a hat trick last night on a little bit of a botched pass to him. He was
For
the empty net. Yeah. He was going straight down the middle of the ice, but the pass went off the end of his stick, as he was entering the zone. But they eventually got the empty netter. And
Calgary's in trouble.
Are they?
Yep.
Why? Because they're playing tonight at Utah?
Who's going to play tonight? Dustin Wolf again?
Maybe.
I mean, I think that Calgary's in trouble. They're not good offensively. They weren't last year, but they were able to squeak in wins. Mm-hmm. And Dustin Wolf was excellent last year.
He was good last night,
too. And he was good last night.
But
he held them in. It was 2-0 Calgary, and then, Vegas kind of started to roll on. But they got, and all due respect for Devin Cooley, who... He's a great guy, and he, was in Rochester, here in Buffalo a little bit. Like, he's not going to give Dustin Wolf the support that he needs. Mm-hmm. You've got a young guy like that. You need to have a veteran, established NHL guy behind him to give him some help, to give him some support, to play him. Like, right now, Dustin Wolf
is starting tonight.
Cooley's starting tonight. But, Wolf is like, I'm playing well. not getting any result, and the stats line is not looking great, but he's still looking all right in net, so that's the problem. But
Who were your who left you dazzled and disturbed last night across the NHL?
Well, I'll start with the positive, and I'll go with the Montreal Canadiens, because it felt like Seattle was the better team. I really feel like the Kraken were the better team. They had a 4-3 lead. Then Montreal, late in the third period, they end up on the power play. Their first power play unit doesn't do anything. And then all of a sudden, Ivan Demidov decided to turn it on.
Is it Ivan now? Allegedly.
Demidov. Anyway, that guy that was 93, he was great on the entry. He took the puck in the defensive zone, entered. Then he gets the puck in the slot and a pass from Laine, and his delay around Gallagher crashing the net, the patience, and then he gets the goal, make it 4-4. The building is erupting. And then Cole Caulfield in overtime. I mean, Cole Caulfield is a sniper. He's a goal scorer. And there wasn't a lot of room for that shot to go up over Joey Decord's left shoulder. But that was dazzling to me last night. What had me disturbed was the New York Rangers.
Why? These games, they should be winning these games. It's not like they're having poor performances.
The Rangers?
Yes. No, they've given up. They have three goals against, not counting empty netters, in their three home games. Their goaltenders have been almost perfect.
But Duffer, when at the end of the day you do something that's never been done in the history of the NHL, never has it been done that a team's first three home games have been shutouts. No goals for the Rangers at MSG. So, funny enough, you know, at Center Ice at MSG, they got the 100 logo for the 100th anniversary of the New York Rangers. Somebody said they should take the one off and just keep the double zero because that's the amount of goals they've been scoring. So, that has me disturbed because the Rangers should be scoring. They have talent. They're in games, as you pointed out, but they are not. I mean, come on. Stuart Skinner and the Edmonton Oilers, you got to get some goals.
Skinner was good.
He was good. Not that they had like 20 shots or whatever.
30.
Well, at one point when I watched it, they were at like less than 20, but they turned it on late.
They did, just like they did against Charlie Lindgren and the Caps, and they couldn't break through there because the goaltending was excellent against the man.
So they got shut out at home by Artur Shilov, Charlie Lindgren, and Stuart Skinner.
Did you have that trifecta?
Not the best trifecta. I mean, it's good. They're NHL goalies, but that was not on my bingo card for sure.
Well, the late game, and it was really late last night, home opener for Anaheim, if you can believe this, because they have not been good. Anaheim has won 10 straight home openers.
Yes.
Mind-blowing, given how poor they have been in recent years. But anyway, super hype last night, back-and-forth game. It's late, and talk about just like
deflating.
The worst. Yes, deflating as opposed to dazzled and disturbed is more accurate here, and that's Weatherspoon goes puck over the glass with less than 2 minutes remaining in a tie game. So now Pittsburgh is on the defensive. It was hilarious, and obviously it was undeniable because Weatherspoon couldn't even hide the fact that
he went straight to the box.
100% guilty. Yeah. But what's happened here in a very brief period of time is Anaheim's power play has been terrific, and it took 7 seconds for Chris Kreider to score after the penalty for puck over the glass, and Anaheim goes on to the win. And it was so impressive to watch the final minute because Beckett Seneca was out there as this, oh my gosh, he looks so young. But he plays he plays in all situations right now. He drew a penalty late to secure the win for Anaheim. And the Ducks have one of the best power plays in the NHL right now because of a player that you had keen interest in the last two seasons, and that is Chris Kreider.
Chris Kreider, when he scored 52 goals for the New York Rangers, he had 26 power play goals, which is a huge number, right? Mm-hmm. Half your power, that's Dave Vanderchuk numbers when, you know, you get half your goals or more on the power play. And he was great with the deflections, great in front of the net. Now this year he's got 4 goals, 3 on the power play. That's what Chris Kreider does. Like, he's still got speed. The legs are not going to go away. Mm-hmm. He still has speed. He was a player that was on my list of, if he was ever available. Well, Anaheim made a really, you know, good deal, and they got him, and, you know, whatever. Like, they moved on from Zegras. They're trying to change the team in Anaheim. And I really like that team now. They moved on from John Gibson. Finally, moved on from John Gibson. Like, they, I like Anaheim. And, oh, do you want me to do a little this or that for you?
No. Oh, well, if you, yeah, but I wanted to get into the rookies.
Oh, well, let's do this or that later, okay, after Beck Malenstein joins us.
All right. Well, the rookies, because yes. I just mentioned Beckett Seneca. You just mentioned Demidov.
Yes.
Like, who's your favorite for the Calder?
So I was asked, because originally, like, Ivan Demidov was a plus 150 and or plus 200, and everybody else was like plus 1,000 and more.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody said Demidov or the field, and I said the field. I was actually talking to my nephew about it, and I said I really like Jimmy Snuggerud, which had a couple goals the other night. His odds have shot up a little bit. The one player that his odds have shot way up is Matthew Schaefer, mm-hmm, with the New York Islanders. So I am still in the... It's the field. It's not going to be Demidov's award, although his performance last night was nice. But I think Snuggerud is going to get more points and more goals than Demidov this year. He plays on the top line. But if Matthew Schaefer continues to play 25, 26, 27 minutes a night, mm-hmm, and the rest of the defense in Long Island plays 17, like, he's going to win. Like, he's going to be the most impactful rookie in the National Hockey League this year.
Well, Zeeb Bouyam is actually leading all rookies in scoring right,
yeah,
now with 5 points, and he's playing over 20 minutes a night, and the power play already has 10 goals for Minnesota this year. And
four
they don't
in
have...
one game. They lost 7-4.
Yeah, but they've been getting the, you know, goals every game.
Yeah.
With the extra... They lost to Dallas last night. Stars pumped in a couple empty netters to make it a 5-2 game, but still.
That was my nephew's pick, like when he said, yeah, he's like, I like Zeeb Bouyam with the Minnesota Wild. I'm,
yeah,
like, yeah, he's good.
He's been impressive, and obviously it's on the heels of Brock Faber and how he's entered the NHL and already become a major staple for them.
Yeah.
All right, as promised, Beck the Winger. Not the singer. Coming up here on Sabres Live.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah,
you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what people
why it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.